This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Is urine sterile enough to drink?
Yeah, but I think we came to the conclusion that it is. Maybe try it one time, see what you do.
How much would you pay me to drink a cup of urine? $5,000?
Yeah.
I think I would do it.
I'd give you the $5,000 just so you don't do it, because I don't want to see you go out like that. You don't bounce back from that, man.
Santi?
Not for $5,000. Nope.
$7,500?
Nope.
$10,000?
Nope.
$15,000?
Nope.
$30,000?
No.
Stop it. $50,000.
I'm not doing it.
You're $1 million.
Something your money can't buy, Dave.
This is DCR.
I would double fist for $1 million juggling cases
of
urine.
Gosh.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, the big 7 o'clock hour. You never know where we're going to go. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. I love RJ. I said $5,000? No way. He said, I'd like to re-enter the conversation for $1 million, though. That is the great.
He's so full
of
it. They're both full of it. Santiago's full of it. RJ's full of it. You walk in with a bag of cash, like $50,000, $100,000.
There is no way that Santiago is not downing a cup of urine for $50,000. There's just no chance.
He'd take it fresh out of the spout for $50,000.
Defend yourself, Ray. Defend yourself.
I said what I said. I stand by it. Not doing it.
He'd put the cakes at his feet.
The what?
The urinal cakes at his feet. How about to eat a urinal cake? You think that's edible?
I don't think those
are
edible.
Anything,
no.
Really.
No.
I mean if they're edible, I guess anything is edible.
Oh my God.
Steve Hart probably served it for dessert in Thanksgiving.
Yes. They give us these
cakes at work.
These great. You've heard of the black and white cookie they gave us? These great, beautiful white cookies, guys. They have a wonderful aroma. It just help yourself.
Most people don't get that, but you guys are bad guys.
Steve Hart, who's our traffic director, we told the story recently. He had a. He's, I can't do it. He served fried. he served Russian dressing as a soup for Thanksgiving, and they heated up mayonnaise until one person at Thanksgiving was like, boy, that doesn't taste right. Oh my
God. Y'all ain't right. Y'all ain't right.
No.
Y'all ain't right.
No. No. Oh my God. All right. Joe Josh,
I'll get
was
an
on
email about
show
that.
Yesterday. What happened?
I'm going to get an email. Steve will send me an email now because we mentioned that.
No, you might get a phone call. Like it
it's
might
gonna go
that
phone call.
Far.
You're
yeah,
right.
He might
got
go
good
phone
luck
call.
If you pick up the phone when he calls you. Good. Good luck getting to bed on time tonight.
It's your own fault. He sent me an email.
He sent me an email the other day about his knee injury. If I had any tips, and then he sent me attached was a picture of him in his high school football uniform.
And by the way, he's the nicest guy. He's such a nice guy. But boy, if you pass him and you have somewhere to go in a hurry, you're not getting there on time. I will just say that. He's a talker.
No, guaranteed. You open the door, he's Kool-Aid man right through it. And then you're...
I'm not a doorman. I'm not trying to open doors.
It's life story.
I love that guy. The nicest guy, maybe at the station. All right, Joe Judge from the K-Show. We heard the sound of, Daniel Jones wasn't even close to healthy. Here's Joe Judge from the K-Show, his evaluation of the Giants quarterback.
You know, look, I'm very pleased in the progress Daniel made last year. I really am. And let's be honest about this guy. I mean, there's no excuses, but he didn't have a spring to work in a new system. He didn't have preseason games to get a feel for it and build chemistry with his teammates. We did the best we could in training camp. And ultimately, you know, it took a little bit more time to acclimate an entire team to a new offense and need going forward. But I'm very, very encouraged. I was very pleased. And but he's fun to work with on a daily basis.
Chris, if you had to bet on it, would you bet that Daniel Jones is a good quarterback, or would you bet the other way?
Yeah, I'd bet that he's a good quarterback, Dave, just because I believe in the character of the individual. Like, I know Daniel Jones, his family, he went to my high school. Like, I just believe that the kid has made it the right stuff to be able to have success as a quarterback in New York City. Like, a big part of why Dave Gettleman drafted Daniel Jones is because, from an intangible standpoint, he reminded him of some of the things that Eli Manning has, some of those traits. So I would bet that he's going to be a good quarterback. Last year, I mean, Joe Judge is right. The turnovers are moving in the right direction. His rookie year, he had 23 turnovers. Last year with 16. It's still too damn many, but at least it's trending in the right direction. Unfortunately, the passing touchdowns, the productivity in the passing game regressed, but you could attribute some of that to not having one of his biggest weapons and his best player in Saquon Barkley. So we'll see what happens in year three, but as far as personnel goes, the Giants have removed all the excuses. Because they went out and they spent big money on Kenny Golladay. They took a flyer on John Ross. They brought in Kadarius Toney and through the draft. I mean, Saquon Barkley should come back healthy. From all reports, that's progressing on the right track. So, I mean, he'll have the players that are in place in order to be a successful quarterback. Now it's just a matter of him going out and proving to everybody that he is that dude that everybody in the organization believes he can be.
You know what I think the other thing, too, was? I mean, and Joe Judge kind of mentioned it. We talked about it. I mean, it's not – I mean, those aren't excuses. Those are some of the reasons, right? I mean, guy going into his second year, you know, offseason, no preseason games, new offensive system, new offensive coordinator. I think the other thing, too, is Jason Garrett kind of getting an idea of what Daniel Jones was good at and right. How, you know, the different ways that he could use him. And once they started doing that, him using his legs and becoming a threat to run, I mean, the whole offense changed. But then, unfortunately, he got hurt and, you know.
Rico, here's the thing, I'm with you on that. Jason Garrett kind of feeling out what Daniel Jones can and can't do. But I don't think Jason Garrett wants to major in his quarterback being a focal point in their running game.
No.
Because
no.
Open yourself up to, you know, Daniel Jones having injuries like what happened late last year. Like, I think they had an idea of what they wanted to be offensively, and then they realized they couldn't get to that, especially without Saquon Barkley, and they turned into an offense that involved the quarterback heavily with the zone read stuff. But, I mean, I just feel like this offense does have a chance to take off because now the players do have another year of experience and familiarity with that same system, and so they're not starting from zero once they get to training camp, and that's going to make a huge difference for the quarterback and everybody else.
Now, one thing that if there was one piece of the draft, or lack thereof, for lack of a better term, that the Giants did not address, and I still think they needed to, was offensive line, and Joe Judge on the K-Show yesterday discusses the criticism about not taking an offensive lineman in this draft.
Well, first of all, I'm excited to work with the guys we have on the team right now, and we're far from a finished product at any position. We're far from where we need to be as a coaching staff right now. We've got a lot of work to do across the board. Listen, there's plenty of offensive linemen that we evaluated and liked in this process, and we're looking to add just good players at all positions, but we're truly looking for the best player, all right, throughout the draft as they come up. Again, if you try to draft overly for need, a lot of times that's when you're really reaching and making mistakes. When you really evaluate guys and just like their skill set as a player, you like them as a person and how they fit in your culture and what they can develop into, that's when you end up hitting on players. We definitely talked about a lot of offensive linemen throughout the draft as our picks approached. But like I said earlier, there were some of the guys that as they approached were just taken off in front of us and got people to trade over you to go ahead and get them. So it's not that we didn't have love for offensive linemen. There's a lot of good ones in this draft, and there were definitely guys we had our eye on. But when we were picking, the best players available ended up being in different positions, and we're very happy with the guys we got.
Rick, I am surprised, though. I mean, to not take an offensive lineman in the draft, I wouldn't have thought that would be the case.
Yeah, I was surprised, too. But again, I mean, all those things he said about Daniel Jones, I think you could say the same thing about the young offensive line. Is it now all of a sudden going into you know, year two together as a unit, you're going to get Nate Solder back. We'll see what he's capable of doing. But, you know, familiar with the offensive system, some time actually during the offseason to work together as a unit, I would imagine they'll be better. Do I think it's at the level that it needs to be? Probably not, but we'll have to wait to see.
We'll see. You got a lot of weapons, though. I mean, if you can hide some flaws on the offensive line with all those weapons and get that running game going, maybe you can do that. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. Eddie, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Big Chris, you know, season ticket holder for the Giants for about 10 years, so I'm on your team.
My man.
On the Giants, you know, I'm disappointed in them because, like you said, they didn't address the offensive line. They got rid of Wayne Gallman. I don't mind the trade down. They could have picked up a Chicago second this year and next year, and they could have took the Minnesota took the right tackle, took the Penn State tight end, which would have freed up Ingram to be a third wide receiver because he stinks on the line. Okay, and then I would have
signed Kyle Rudolph,
and then I would have dressed. Go ahead.
I feel like this is the same call we had the other day about what Pittsburgh did in the draft. It feels like spelling out exactly what the Giants should have done.
Look, can you be disappointed they didn't take an offensive lineman? I think that's fair. I think they believe that with the coaching and the guys returning for another year in the same system, that that's going to be a big difference.
Yeah, Dave, but here's the thing. You got to mitigate some of that disappointment with the fact that they were able to pick up significant draft capital for 2020. And everybody in NFL circles talks about how important those draft picks are going to be because it's going to be a normal offseason, a normal opportunity to evaluate these guys at the combine, a normal pre-draft process. So, I mean, I don't think you can be overly critical. I mean, they traded down, they got value, and they addressed areas of need. I mean, they got a wide receiver that should be a difference maker day one in your offense. They got an edge pass rusher who should be a difference maker day one on your defense. I don't understand why you could have so much disdain for what Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge did. They had a good draft. They had a really good draft.
They had a really good draft. I don't know if you guys heard. Hopefully the guys behind the glass can find this for us. Do you guys have what Mel Kiper said yesterday? He said it on every show that he went on about how he gave the Giants a B-plus grade, but in actuality he should have done differently. Do you guys have that audio?
They're the best in the business. They'll find it.
Well.
But here's the thing, though. But
I gave him a B+, and I'm going to say right now, I was too tough a grader. It's 2:03 in the morning. I'm saying, give him a B+. I looked at that and said, I should get an F for giving them a B+. They deserve an A. Let's amend the Giants up to an A right now. Dave Gettleman did a great job. When you trade down twice and you get Kadarius Toney and then you get Azeez Ojulari and you get a number one pick next year added to what you already have in terms of draft capital and you do well with the rest of the picks, if that's not an A, I don't know what it is. I made a big mistake giving him a B+. That should have been an A. Dave Gettleman, great job.
There you go. I mean, let's reclassify that to an A.
Yeah, but they clearly, I mean, they had their eyes on a wide receiver. It was going to be Waddle, Devontae Smith, or Kadarius Toney.
That's correct.
The wide receivers were rated higher on their board than in the offensive linemen. And
I when think you that take goes that, without saying.
Okay, but when you take that and you couple it with, okay, now all of a sudden I got a first-round pick to move back, that's what they, I mean, that's, you got to take Toney with the first, you got to take Toney with the first-round pick and add that to the compensation that they got from the Chicago Bears.
That's right. You got Toney and a 1 and a 4 and a 5.
Exactly right. And it's easy to sit here and say, well, you know, you shouldn't want Minnesota. You should have taken Christian Darrisaw. We don't know how they had Christian Darrisaw rated on their board. Obviously that's not right. As high as they had Kadarius Toney on their board.
And you know what? You got Ojulari and a 3 at 50. So take that into account. You didn't just get Toney and flat out be done with him. You got him a 1, a 4, and a 5. You got Ojulari plus a 3. I said it yesterday. I stand by it. The Giants did phenomenally well in this draft.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
How about this? Remember yesterday when Spike, formerly from Jersey, currently in St. Petersburg, called and said he's living across the street from an Eagles, Flyers, Phillies fan. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
I get this tweet. I worry about Spike. I mean, he's taking this to levels that I think are concerning. FYI, he says, I left an old white T-shirt in a brown paper bag and wrote with a large marker in green, Eagles stink, in the mailbox of the Eagles fan across the street.
Yeah, see, I don't know if you do something like that to your next door neighbor. I mean, the proximity is too close.
Especially when you're just moving in. Like, that could get spicy.
And he just moved in.
That could get really spicy.
Yeah, no, I honestly, I would not do that. I don't understand the rationale. Now, when I saw that person every time I'm, like, you know, with the dogs or walking out in the street, I would make a comment.
Yeah, but I'm at a certain point now. I mean, Spike's getting, like, really, like, dangerously close to all
of
a sudden.
To the other person's property, too.
Well, he's getting close to ending up on Did It Happen in Florida here. Like, this is the first step in ending up on
Spike on DHIF?
That's where we're headed.
Yeesh.
He's going to be on DHIF.
Because now, all of a sudden, now the neighbor's antennas are up.
Yeah.
Like, it's someone. Yeah, it's someone around here.
And you know folks in Florida got no problems escalating things.
Right.
At all.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this could certainly lead to a Did It Happen in Florida on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, this is how they start, isn't it?
I'd like an update. Spike, as this continues along, please continue to tweet me of what's happening here.
And this person's an Eagles fan. and a Flyers fan. Like,
oh, he's on hold.
They're capable of anything.
I didn't realize that Spike. We're worried for you. Good morning, firstly, and are you okay?
I'm fine. I want to preface it by saying that I haven't met the guy, and we had a rather livid discussion. He told me how crappy the Giants are, tongue-in-cheek, and kept saying, DeSean Jackson, the punt. And then, he's much younger than me, and I said, so you had our number for a number of years, and I think we got you now. And he says, we'll always beat you. And I said, you like the Phillies too, huh? He says, oh, you must like the Mets. I said, okay. We got to get off on the right foot. Affable guy, really nice. Nice little kid, too. But it was all
you think so until you realize, now you've gone into the guy's mailbox. You're leaving T-shirts with Eagle stink on it until he snaps and turns on you. He's a really nice guy.
No, this was all in fun, and he was jesting, and he said to me, well, Rick said we have a bag of poop there and light it on fire. You can't do that. But, no, we just had about a 20-minute discussion. He's a big sports fan, and his neighbor comes over, and he drives his kid Alex's age, and he drives him to school for 30 minutes. He says, sports talk here stinks. I said, why don't you try DCR in the morning? You're in that car. And he's driving, and he texts me. He says, these guys are talking about drinking urine. I said, that's just a little deviation. Anyway, it's all in fun, man. They don't touch an old man. So anyway, last night, this team, I said it to Colin, I say it to everyone, and you guys know sports inside out much better than I'll ever know it. But I got to tell you something. How does a team go from being the worst three-point making team? We know defensively they were terrible. They turned that around. That I expected with tips. To being third or fourth in the NBA in making threes. They're shooting 50% against. They could beat anybody. And they missed Knowles. I said, oh, boy, this is going to be tough. Gibson played 35 minutes the night before. These guys are just taking them one at a time and mowing them down. Now, I don't expect them to go play the three of the four top teams in the NBA. Maybe they'll win another game. I don't know. But I'm not afraid of anybody now. And I think four or five is really a serious consideration. I was so happy watching that game last night, boys.
Because it's great. And thanks for the call, Spike. The Knicks are phenomenal. They really are. I mean, are they going to win a championship? No. But can they compete any single night, especially in the regular season? I mean, their game is really well built to go in on the road anywhere, play at home, and beat the opposition. That's the level they play at. It really is. And because they bring it every single night, it's that lunch pail mentality, and it never goes stale.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, nothing would surprise you at this point with this team.
Nothing. Would you be shocked if they beat the Lakers? God knows if LeBron's going to play in that game.
No, who knows who's playing in any of these games? I mean, you mentioned it earlier in the show. Like, who's playing for the Clippers? Is this going to be a game where, Kawhi rests his foot or Paul George doesn't play? Like, you don't know going into these games. I mean, what you do know is that, when you turn on the television to watch a Knicks game, they're going to play a certain style of basketball. And all of a sudden, they can make a bunch of threes. They're going to defend like crazy. They're going to frustrate the hell out of you. They're going to play physical. You saw that last night with John Morant and their coach. They both
That's
get kicked
right.
out.
They all got thrown out last night.
But just think about, go back to some of the conversations we were having, too. Like, things that could potentially trip this team up. Because the first half surprised everybody. Now they're like, okay, when does reality set in? Mm. Well, it's second half of the season. You look at that West Coast trip. Now all of a sudden, teams start to take the regular season seriously. So they're, positioning for, playoff seeding and everything else. And the Knicks will have their hands full. Oh, okay, they have their hands full. But they handled it pretty damn well winning 12 of the last 13. I can tell you that.
Yeah, we thought they would regress, and this team has continued to get better. Like, they're going the opposite direction that everybody expected, because we thought that with the rest of the league becoming more competitive as they get closer to the playoffs, the talent deficiencies that the Knicks would have would show up in a more glaring way. But the opposite has happened. Like, this team has figured out how to be able to find themselves on the winning side of close games. Like, they figured out late game execution. Julius Randle has continued to get better. And then some of the other pieces that are on this team have shown you things that you didn't expect. Like what Alex Burks has done in the second half before he had to deal with the COVID situation. Like what we're seeing from Derrick Rose after he's coming off of COVID. Like RJ Barrett continuing to get better, especially with shooting from the perimeter. Like we didn't expect to see those things in the second half of this season. But yet, here we are with this Knicks team. And so when we have the conversation about, what would surprise you about this team? The only thing that would surprise me about now with the Knicks is if they found themselves on the wrong side of a blowout game. Like, this team is going to be competitive every single night. Like, in past years, if you're talking about them playing a team that's top three in the Western Conference, like they're about to play the Nuggets tomorrow night, we would say, yeah, the Nuggets starters probably aren't going to play into the fourth quarter. But now we fully expect that game to be a four-quarter game. And it's a flip of a coin in terms of which way it could go, because that's how well the Knicks are playing right now.
Goodyear notes, from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit that perfect shot as well. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs, and it takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear more driven. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented, of course, as always, by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to a couple more Knicks calls. Let's go to Earl in Brooklyn. Good morning, Earl.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's going on, Earl?
Rick, I thought you were the guy. You were the responder. When somebody says good morning, how you doing?
Good morning. I thought he was going to proceed with his point. You said good morning. I thought he was going
to
continue.
For you to have salutations, and you didn't.
I apologize, Earl. It's a fantastic morning. How are you doing today?
Much better.
I'm doing good. Listen, I just want to Candy, how you doing, big guy?
What's happening?
I got some Loki cream to that for the wedding. That's number one. You know, I always start that off.
Appreciate you.
I got like 25. I still didn't get my invitation, though. I told you guys in the back, Candy, and I'm surprised. Your Lakers are not going to be too good this year. LeBron is giving all the excuses.
I don't know about that. I will pump my brakes on the Lakers talk. I'm just saying.
We discussed about 4 or 5 weeks ago about how you make your money in the playoffs. And I told you guys, you make your money in the post, and then you step outside. You ditch it inside. And then I told you guys, you shouldn't trade those guys. And I also said that the Knicks will finish 5 games above .500. You remember that?
So you guys remind us every week. We remember.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Earl. Every week, Earl's going to call us and tell us, do you remember when I said this? Do you remember when I said this? Earl, you are phenomenal. Joe in Staten Island. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me out.
Thanks for calling, Joe. What's up?
Another great win last night. You could see in the fourth quarter, Memphis started to make a little run going here and there, back and forth. But this team just kept the foot on the gas, man. They came in Derrick Rose, another 25. Like, he's been unbelievable. I think he's probably the greatest thing they've done this year, bringing him in to come off the bench like that with quickly. It's awesome. I don't even have any more words. This is just so fun to watch. It's awesome.
Yeah, when the bench plays well, it's a difference maker. You saw that in the second quarter. Between D Rose, quickly and Burks in that second quarter.
Yep.
When they went for the 44. I mean, I think the bench scored, I want to say, 27 of the 44 points in that second quarter.
You know, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but having Burks back is a real buoy to this. I mean, he's a good player. He fits in really well on this team.
Hey, fits really. I mean, just don't forget too. I mean, once before he went down with COVID, I mean, he was, as far as finishing games.
Yeah,
I mean, he's one of their go-to guys. One of their go-to guys down the stretch.
Played phenomenally, and he's back. So hopefully that's a sign of good things.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
A talk show host, a man that can drive the show. That, of course, is the great Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good, Dave. Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing really well. So very excited by what the Giants did in the draft. More so even after rounds 2, 3, and 4 than I was after round 1. Do you agree? Do you love what the Giants did with the trades and the value they got in this draft?
Yeah, especially like Azeez Ojulari to me was the real difference. Like, if they had flip picks and they came out of this with a 1 and a 4 next year, I would have thought it was a great trade. And here's the interesting part that we'll have a lot of fun talking about all year, guys, is this. When the Miami Dolphins traded Laremy Tunsil to Houston, Houston was a really good team, and I'm sure they thought, hey, whatever we get, it's a lottery ticket. And, you know, things just fell apart in Houston, and Miami was the beneficiary of that. And Chicago, look, they lost some really good players on defense, and because of that, you just don't know where that pick's going to be. So I thought that was a really smart trade by Dave Gettleman, because if they put a rookie quarterback in there and that defense isn't as good, who knows? Like, maybe it's a top 10 pick. The point is, like, they've really positioned themselves very well for the future with that.
And Mike, just remind people that are tuning in right now, how important, like, I mean, you talk to a bunch of people around the league, like, how important, you know, a first-round pick in next year's draft is going to be as opposed to, you know, obviously this year with the pandemic and everything else?
Yeah, no, a great point, Rick. Everyone was saying that picks next year are just simply more valuable. You know, there was rumors about Owusu-Koromoa, the linebacker for Notre Dame, a great player. There were some last-minute questions about his medical, which, you know, candidly, I don't know to the details of. I think it got sorted out, but the point being is there was just uncertainty, and clubs want certainty, and not having the combine, not having the ability to meet face-to-face with players was very bothersome to clubs, understandably. So I think if someone said, I'd rather have more picks this year or next year, I think 100% of the teams would say, I'd rather have those picks next year.
Mike, yesterday Joe Judge was on with the Michael Kay Show, and he said that Kadarius Toney brought a skill set to the table that they really didn't have on the team right now. Can you speak a little bit about what Kadarius Toney brings to that table, and then how you anticipate that impacting Daniel Jones in this Giants passing attack in 2021?
Yeah, Chris, I spent a week down in Mobile, got to see Kadarius up close. He's a Mobile, Alabama native. You know, for all the New York football fans out there, from a build standpoint, he really reminded me of Santana Moss. He's very thick through his lower body. They moved him around, which speaks to his football intelligence. And I think the Giants have a really good receiver set. When you think about, I'm a big Darius Slayton fan. They have Sterling Shepard, John Ross. Obviously, they gave Galladay a lot of money, but I think they'll get him the ball behind the line of scrimmage like they did at Florida. He's really dynamic with the ball in his hands. I think we'll see a lot of quote-unquote long handoffs from Daniel Jones. That'll help his completion percentage. So he is a playmaker. And again, you know, when I was on with you guys Friday morning, my concern was they didn't come out of this with a tackle or a pass rusher, but you know, they were able to do that in the second round. So I think Tony's a talented player. And again, like when you scout somebody and they ask him to do as many things as he did in Florida, you know, he's a really smart player as well.
Mike, do you have a pro comp for Kadarius Toney? Like, who's a guy that's currently in the NFL that reminds you of his skill set?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, like I said, like he physically, to me, he looked a little bit like Santana Moss. You know, I don't think he's Tyreek Hill. Like, I thought Jalen Waddle was closest. So, but he is explosive with his ball in the hands. Like, you know, he looked a little bit, you know, Tavon Austin coming out, but obviously Austin's size got him. You know, Tony's a little bit bigger, so he's sort of a mesh of all those players. But again, like if I'm a Giants fan, like when you watch the tape, you see a guy that breaks a lot of tackles because he's strong. Like for somebody that's that fast, he's stronger than you think he is.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here on a Tuesday morning, 98.7 ESPN. Are you surprised, and if so, bothered that the Giants didn't take any offensive line in this draft?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, Matt Peart has to develop. I mean, that's the key guys. Like, Aaron Hernandez has to continue getting better, and obviously Andrew Thomas does too. You know, Nate Solder, to me, is now a one-year Band-Aid. You know, coming off of these opt-outs, you just don't know what guys are going to be like. You know, we used to hold our breath when players left the off-season program in late May, early June, and we didn't see him for 6 weeks. And now you're going to say, hey, I haven't seen this guy in, what, a year and a half, and we're going to just plug him in like nothing happened. That would scare me. So this is going to be about Matt Peart's development. This is going to be about Andrew Thomas's development. And if those guys develop and Soldier's your swing tackle, great. If they don't, and again, we got to calibrate ourselves. Like, can Nate Solder play in 17 games? Like, I just don't know if we could say that right now.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, let's swing over to the Jets. Give me just first impressions of how you think the Joe Douglas and the Jets did in the draft.
Yeah, I thought, look, it was really solid. You know, I obviously Zach Wilson, we'll see how that goes. But I do like Vera Tucker. I think you put him at left guard next to Mekhi Becton. And now you have, you know, a good, young, solidified part of your offensive line. And foundationally, that's really important. Elijah Moore, really good player. You could argue that maybe that wasn't the biggest need, considering they had added Corey Davis. And Jamison Crowder was somebody that, you know, has been productive for them. And I really like Michael Carter from North Carolina. He's an explosive running back. If he can stay healthy, I thought that was a good value pick as well.
So, Mike, you mentioned all the other guys that they drafted in, on the offensive side of the ball, but it's a 10-man draft class, and they had 6 draft picks on the defensive side of the ball. So give me your take on who the guy that you're going to be keeping an eye on to make an impact early on in their career in the NFL.
Yeah, ironically, it could be the other Carter. You know, he's smart. He's versatile. I think a couple of those DBs, candidly, Chris, have an opportunity to get on the field early. I mean, if we're looking at the Jets, their secondary is a whole bunch of question marks. So I think that's probably the best opportunity right now.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So give me some other teams that you look at around the league and you say, boy, they did really, really well in this past draft.
I think the Chargers and the Browns. You know, I think the Browns, I think what's been most impressive about them is if we were sitting here in January and we said, hey, Cleveland needs to fix their defense to get to where they want to go. And the verb I would use is they've attacked their defense. Josh Johnson, Troy Hill, they drafted Newsom. They were able to get Owusu-Koramoah in the second round. They signed Clowney to a one-year deal. They signed Cap McKinley, a former first rounder. So if I'm a fan and I see a weakness of my team, I think Andrew Berry and that Cleveland Brown front office has done a masterful job of putting that team in a position to be successful. Likewise, very similar with the Chargers. Like, they have a great young quarterback in Justin Herbert. So they sign Matt Filer from Pittsburgh. They sign Corey Linsley from Green Bay. And then what do? They come back and they draft Rashawn Slater, maybe the best offensive lineman in this year's draft. That's how you protect a young quarterback. And I think both those teams did a really good job.
Mike, how much of Denver deciding to go with, you know, Pat Surtain had to do with the potential that maybe if things fall right for them, they could trade for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, if that was the case, they made a huge mistake, and here's why. Chicago trades up to the Giants at 11. So let's just assume for sake of this discussion that if we're the Chicago Bears, if we could give up the same package to get to 9 that it took to get to 11, then that's what Denver should have done. Because mm-hmm. now you have an extra first-round pick as draft capital to trade to go get Aaron Rodgers. And the fact that they didn't could come back and really maybe it's the difference of getting Aaron Rodgers or not. So I was surprised that teams like Philadelphia, teams like Denver, Carolina, didn't think about trying to trade back with Chicago to get the 1 and the 4 next year, because that's massive draft capital in a potential trade with Green Bay.
Mike, I know publicly the San Francisco 49ers have said they're hanging on to Jimmy Garoppolo despite drafting Trey Lance with the 3rd overall pick, but I was wondering about this. You know, Trey Lance only played 1 game this past season, 17 games at the FCS level. Like, I mean, how does that, you know, lack of playing time in 2020 impact the 49ers' plan to develop him in 2021 and beyond?
Yeah, you got to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, a decade ago, I was, you know, criticized for drafting Mark Sanchez, who only played 13 games for USC, and now this guy plays 1 game at the FCS level. And I happen to really like Trey Lance. I think he has a chance to be really, really good. And everyone that's met with him just talks about impeccable character, leadership, intelligence, like all the intangibles are there. But I don't think there's any way in good conscience, if you're running the 49ers, you could say, hey, you played 1 game this year and at not even the best level of college football, and here are the keys to a franchise. Like, people don't understand, like, you're like basically dropping somebody off in the middle of China. And what I mean by that is, like, you're learning a new language. The playbook is a brand new language. And a lot of times you're going to a part of the country you've never been to. It's your first job. And there's a lot to learn, let alone your teammates, your coaches. And, oh, by the way, by opening day, every bit of your opponent's tendencies. So to put that player in the best chance to be successful, I don't think there's any rush to get him on the field.
The aforementioned Jimmy Garoppolo will be on KJZ at 9:10 this morning. I want to get back to Aaron Rodgers with you quickly, Mike. Do you you think he plays more for Green Bay, or do you think his days are done there?
Dave, I got to know, I think it's the first time you ever used the word aforementioned. I mean, and not only that, it was like pristinely used. So
this is what we do.
I thought that was...
Well, you know what I'm trying to do, Mike? I know that you have now dipped your toe into the like lead hosting role, and I'm trying to give you words and ways that you can better yourself, and I think we've done that there.
I think so. I mean, I went to law school. I don't think I've ever used any law school professor to use the word aforementioned as eloquently as you just did. But anyway, I digress. I think Aaron Rodgers, you know, here's the part that's interesting to me. Like, come out and say you're done there. Like, I don't understand why there has to be all this innuendo and sort of like, you know, half-spoken words. And like, if you're done, you're done. Like, just say it. And, I mean, looking at everything else everybody else is, yeah, I think he is done. And I think the real inflection point comes at training camp. And I think here's what's excruciatingly hard for Green Bay, which is, do you say, hey, this is Carson Palmer, and you're done, and you're going to be a Packer or no one? Or do you trade them and say, hey, we got to cut our losses? Those are painful, painful discussions that the Green Bay Packers are going to have.
Yeah, but Mike, I mean, Green Bay has a team, and they've been back-to-back NFC Championship games. They have a Super Bowl-ready roster with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, from everything I've heard, Jordan, I mean, he was the third-string quarterback last year with no offseason, no preseason or anything else. Like, he hasn't really taken any reps. Like, how can they trade? Like, they're going to go with Jordan Love with that roster?
No, but what I'm saying is, at some point, if Aaron Rodgers says to them, I'm never playing here again, it's going to take you a while to get there. But at some point, you're going to say, you know what, this could be Carson Palmer, who said, I am never playing for the Bengals again. And eventually they traded him. And if Aaron Rodgers is at that point, then that's what you say, hey, if we get a first-round pick, we're better off doing that than getting nothing. And that's where this story, guys, gets really interesting, is as we get closer to trade camp.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask you this question then. If you're the GM of Green Bay and, you know, you've flown out, coach has flown out, apparently he doesn't, Gutekunst's not a big fan of, he'd like to see him fired. But Mike Tannenbaum, you're the GM, you fly to see him, and he says, the only way I stay is you give me a brand new deal, highest paid quarterback, and oh, by the way, I want you to trade Jordan Love. What do you do?
Well, first of all, I would keep working to get a solution. And my answer to that would simply be this. You know what, Aaron? If you really want me to trade Jordan Love, we will. But guess what? That's not in your best interest or our best interest, because we have to play 17 regular season games. And at some point, if you have a bump in the road and you're not available for a couple games, he'll give us the best chance to win. But if you feel like he can't be here, we'll do that. But I don't think that's in your best interest, because the better we do, the more money it puts in your pocket.
Mike, if you're team president, Mike Murphy, do you give any consideration to moving on from your general manager because Aaron Rodgers wants you to?
Yeah, look, Chris, that's a hard one for me, because, you know, I feel like I got stuck up for my fellow, you know, the GMs of the world. And again, it's a very similar conversation, Chris. Like, I would say to Aaron Rodgers, like, whoever the GM was, they have a responsibility to the organization. So it could be Brian Gutekunst, it could be GM A, B, C, or D. It doesn't matter. They have a responsibility to the franchise. And maybe we could have communicated it better, which sounds like they could have. But at the end of the day, your job is to play football. Our job is to make the best decisions we can for the team. So I really hope it doesn't come to that.
Mike, I don't know if everyone else feels like this, but I feel like there's a pep in your step and really an energy that you're bringing to the table today.
Yeah, Dave, I take X2, an all-natural, healthy energy drink that you can get at x2performance.com. I hope you guys enjoy as much as I do. It's good to you, and it produces energy naturally, and I appreciate you asking.
Absolutely. Now, before we let you go, I don't know if you've learned this, because my co-host just learned it today. I'm launching a big podcast, like a big podcast with video elements and all sorts of big stuff. We're looking for guests moving down the road. I'd like to cordially invite you onto the podcast. Is that something you would entertain?
Absolutely. The more I can do stuff with DCR, the more I'm absolutely.
Great. We'll lock it in. Mike,
I'm embarrassed for you right now.
Why so?
Oh, no, you didn't want to talk about it. You didn't tell us about it because you didn't want to use our time on the show.
Well, you took an hour up of the show, so now I think all bets are off. Now I can talk about
it. Mike,
you don't have to stay for what's going to happen. Thank you, and I'll reach out. We'll get you on the podcast. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. That is, of course, Mike Tannenbaum. Look at you. You're just air dirty laundry at the drop of a hat. At least can we say goodbye to him before you start up with me?
Now, listen, he said some things that I held my tongue a couple of times, like explosive with the ball in his hand. I mean, there were things I was going to say. I just chose not to.
You just couldn't hold it anymore, huh?
I couldn't hold it anymore. How well spun was that, though? What I would say to Aaron is, it's in your best interest that we keep Jordan Love.
Yes.
Beautiful.
That's what these guys
Beautiful.
Do. But like, how about
a good
the fact
point,
that he
Mike?
Thinks Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay, huh? He'll never take a never
they
snap
better hope
the Packers.
Not. They better hope not. Could you imagine being one of the veteran guys in that locker room, going from Aaron Rodgers to... They get a chance to
compete
for Super
Bowl. Imagine if you're Aaron Jones and you're a free agent. You could have gone anywhere. You say, you know what, let me stay here. They're going to pay me a lot, and I have the best chance to win a Super Bowl. And now you're going to be with maybe Jordan Love as your starting quarterback?
Again, he gets hurt by not having an owner. The fact that they don't have an owner hurts Aaron Rodgers.
I agree with you.
Because, see, I mean, Chris asked the question, would the president fire the GM? if the thought of me not having, if I own Green Bay, and my option is, I have to trade Aaron Rodgers and now, I mean, chances to win a Super Bowl out the window, or fire the GM. I think you know what that decision is going to be.
Yeah,
that's a slippery slope, though. That's a slippery slope when you let players start dictating to the personnel and the structure and the hierarchy in your organization.
I'll take my risk.
Yeah, he's so good, though. I agree. KJZ starting in about 8 minutes from right now. A lot of NFL conversation and a lot of Knicks conversation as well. So you want to stay tuned for that starting at 8 o'clock this morning. Let's get to some of these Knicks calls. Then, of course, three stars with Santiago. Let's go to John in Saratoga. Good morning, John.
Hi, it's Joe.
I apologize, Joe. His head's not in the show today.
Wait. You know what? What does that mean, my head's not in the show? RJ, what does it say on my screen? RJ, what does it say?
I see Joe.
Yeah, it says Joe. I'm kidding. It says John. Don't lose your mind. I'm sorry, Joe. It's my fault.
No, big deal. No big deal. I lost you the other day. I just want to – I have a couple points. First one, the Knicks, great. I love watching them. It's been painful for many years. I just don't understand one thing, and I hate to be nitpicky about Thibodeau, but starting Peyton just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, they start off slow. I mean, I know he likes him for defense, but Rose is playing so well. I mean, just switch it up a little bit before the playoffs, because once the playoffs start, you can't play a good team and be down five, you know, halfway through, you know, the first quarter. I just don't understand that mentality. Maybe it's superstition. Maybe it's working. So,
Joe, you're really concerned being down 5 points at the end of the first quarter? Like, well, that would be, that's what concerns you the most?
It's not about being down five. It's just when you see the energy of the guys come in, as you see when Rose comes in, you have a true point guard. He's the only one who passes the top, and no one else will pass to the guy.
But you can't play Derrick Rose 37 minutes a game, Joe. You can't do it. So you got to pick your spots.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy late in games. I mean, he's finishing these games. They like to keep both units together, because when you have that bench unit come out, that is an advantage for the Knicks, the way that bench unit can score. But Derrick Rose, I mean, don't get it twisted. In the postseason, Derrick Rose is going to be, to close out these games, Derrick Rose is going to be the guy who finishes. And who knows how many minutes he's going to
play. 40 minutes a night. You can't do it. You can't start him and finish him. It's just he's not capable of doing that at this point in his career. Let's go to maybe it's Dan, maybe it's Joe. Dan in Freehold, you're on 98.7.
Danny, what's up, bud?
Not so much, man. I know you guys only got a second. I just wanted to say it's such a breath of fresh air, man, and you guys have been talking about it. I don't want to beat the pony with that point, but it's just such a breath of fresh air. And a point, too, that I don't really hear a lot of people bring up that I just wanted to kind of mention, because I think it's something that, like, New York City is, you know, I'm from New York, and I think it's something that New York really needed right now. I mean, it's a nice surprise, but it's like, it's a winning team that no one saw coming. Like, we all had lofty expectations. I'm a Jet fan. I know you guys, Giant fans and Knicks. But, like, we had no expectations for this, and that's what makes it so beautiful. And my question real quick was, I read something in the Post this morning, and they kind of made a good point. Do you re-sign most of these guys, going forward, and do you make a run at somebody like Zion going forward? And do you see Randall as a potential cornerstone piece going forward? That's pretty much it. Have a great day, guys.
All right, thanks, Dan. Well, so let's tackle those one at a time. Zion is years away.
Way down the road, yeah.
So we're not even there. And my answer would be yes, I see Julius Randle as a cornerstone piece moving forward.
Yeah, and then you figure out what your options are this offseason. I mean, I would love to see them address the point guard.
They got to upgrade point guard.
They have to.
Yeah, you
got to
let Elfrid Payton walk and find somebody else. There's got to be a better option to be your starting point guard. Has to be. Just has to be. So we'll see what happens.
I don't think anybody loves Elfrid Payton. He's the best of what you have when you're not playing Derrick Rose. That's what he is.
And he's good defensively. I mean, that's why Thibs likes him.
He's a serviceable point guard, but he doesn't make other players better. He's not a involve the shooters kind of point guard.
But if you could get your hands on a guy like Lonzo Ball this offseason, somebody that's really good defensively at the point guard spot, but then a facilitator and a playmaker offensively,
changes the narrative. Yeah, Brian in Saddlebrook. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, question. When it comes to the MVP talk, why is it that the NBA is not like, let's say, like baseball, where they have a National League MVP and American League MVP? Why not a Western MVP and an Eastern MVP? Because I think Julius Randle will definitely take it.
Nah, they're going to have – I mean, I don't want to see that. It's the MVP of the league. It's how it should be.
Yeah, I don't love that either. And they used to do that in baseball, where you'd get one Cy Young Award winner and one MVP, and that would be it. But they realize it's too much talent, and they have to open it up a little bit bigger. So that's what they've done in Major League Baseball. Okay, let's go, Santi. Let's see what you got today. It's the three stars of the day.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Okay, number three is going to go to the New York Knicks, who I'm running out of adjectives to describe. 12 of 13, continue to win. Denver next, let's keep it going.
Number two.
I don't know how we ended up here again, but for some reason we were talking about drinking urine again on this show, and Dave, maybe you can shed some light on this. How did we end up this
well,
end up
I'll
being
tell
a conversation
you how, cause,
again?
Because RJ and I were recapping what we did like the second week of April, and he said, well, we had Samini on, and we got into you getting the dogs, and we had Renan on to talk about the Giants, and oh, yeah, and he started laughing. He said, we discussed if drinking your own urine is something that you can do. And then I was laughing because it was right before we came back from break. I was laughing about it, and I brought it up to the guys, and then we got into the conversation of drinking urine and drinking your own. And I said I would do it for a large sum, and I think most people agree that they would.
So I guess that makes the 6 o'clock hour the golden hour.
Oh! Nice.
Now you get first star.
Yeah, take it.
I can't.
First star goes to you.
That's all Chris Canty.
Slept for 90 minutes last night. That was well played by you.
Can't take credit for that. That's all Canty. Anyway, number one star is actually. Well, listen,
I'm a big star, you know. I have so much knowledge.
Just realize now, I'll be watching you all the time.
I want a championship.
I used to write letters all the time to the Giants.
That's Lawrence Taylor.
You don't respect me?
I'm crazy. He's terrible.
Would you go to therapy with me?
Yep, the Rothenberg Untucked podcast, which none of us knew about, and we were all surprised this morning.
Oh, the deception, the betrayal, man. You deceived me.
I don't know, Dave. I wish you the best of luck with the podcast, which
I think
comes out today. Can we listen to that on all platforms?
Yes, it comes out today. I will tweet out all the different ways you can listen. There's going to be a YouTube video channel. There's going to be a Spotify link, so I will certainly get that out there. And I feel like I was unceremoniously attacked with you guys not knowing, because I don't think you would have cared, and I think I would have been ridiculed and made fun of, but we move forward.
It would have been nice to not be surprised. Anyway, all of this can be heard on the Rothenberg Podcast Network, RPN.
Yes, the full network of shows. If you, in fact, would like a show on the Rothenberg Podcast Network, just contact me at Rothenberg ESPN. So, a lot going on. KJZ, of course, some general NFL conversation. And then the Knicks, DeGrom on the mound for the Mets tonight. So there's a ton we're going to get into tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. And for us right now, in this very moment, it's Rule 76.
No excuses, play a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.